We have some coming up, and it would be easy to add too, wouldn't it? So you kids or people or adults or whomever are not baptized, consider that. Immersed in the waters of baptism. We sang the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I was thinking of a verse that I had read recently a couple of times out of Colossians, one of the most famous books of the Bible, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, if you don't know where it is. I know that Olivia could tell me what it was. It's talking about God being the creator of all things. So, did anybody find it with me yet? I thought it was Colossians 3. Jennifer has my phone, so I can't find it quickly. Let me get my phone.
Talk about it.
Colossians 1, 16 through 20. Sorry about the three, but it's probably a good one, Romans, as well. I've recently used this one, and talking about God being faithful to his creation, really, when you really think about it, we're talking about illusions, for the weekend, and when you really consider what we are, who we are, how we got here. God, obviously, you know, which the kids had their chart up in the morning or earlier, that creation, God spoke all these things to it in existence. And as we travel along that chart of time, all along, God has created all the things that are in it, even though man has looked at it in the sense that there's science, so it disproves the fact that there is a God, when if you really think about it and look at the way creation is, it's all God's creation. The science is God's creation. All of it is God's creation. He created everything. So anytime we get away from God or his word, then we begin to get into those places where illusions happen, where we can be talked into another idea, another concept, but he's the beginning and author of it. I want to go ahead and read that. Colossians 1. What did it start with, Kelsey? 14? No. 16. For by him, yeah, it said a split on the page. No wonder I couldn't find it. For Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, both in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. There's our governments mentioned right in there. God created, he puts in charge who he wants. You find that in Daniel. All things have been created through him and for him. Some people put Jesus in this picture as someone that was in the creation or part of the creation. That's not the case. Jesus started when he was conceived with Mary, although God, knowing all in his plan, knew that Jesus was in his plan. So in that sense, Yes, Jesus was in the creation, in the fact that God knew that he was coming. And so Jesus being the center of the creation, I believe he is, from the beginning forward and from his birth on, that Jesus is the center of creation, the savior of mankind, the savior of who will be saved. The only way that anyone can be saved is through Jesus. So yes, he is the center of creation, but all things are created from God. And whether they're invisible or visible, last night we saw we had a campfire out here, and at the beginning of it, we were singing one of the songs. I looked up and I saw a shooting star go by. And then it made me think about the depth. Okay, that thing was way out there when it went by. And then I'm thinking about the creation. A lot of times when people are talking about the creation, it's only these things that we see right here, right now, that are surrounding us, because that's our world, the things that we can see. But there's something that's way beyond that. Even in just a star going over, then you notice that, well, that looked like it was closer than those other stars. And according to the people that know how to figure out how far away things are, there are vast differences in space in God's creation. So it isn't only confined to what is around us. I think the fact that God creating all things is far overlooked, and people put stock in their idea of how things are and what the laws are. When God made the laws, scientists, things like that, they're saying, well, gravity, this and all that, Einstein, the Big Bang, all that. And I know I covered a little bit of that at conference, talking about the Big Bang and creation and the fact that Brother McGaw, the one in Florida, Russ McGaw, in his lesson talked about the Big Bang, and I never thought of it this way, but it was really faster than a Big Bang, because God said, and it was, and all that vastness, like I was talking about, the shooting star, the stars, and all those things were in place all of a sudden. So it is like a Big Bang. There it is. It wasn't. There it is. So I think it's something that we need to consider as one of our foundational ideas from the scripture, is that God created and is the creator of all things. That's sometimes hard to remember when we're all confused, and we have AI that can help us out. And yes, it can help us out. I could have done this in an AI version instead of me coming up here and, you know, tripping around. But I really do believe that that's something that's overlooked, and something we need to really remember, that God is the creator of all things. And if you believe that and you know that, it's going to be very hard to be deceived, because you know that James 1 says all good things and every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So that's something I think is overlooked. Now, I ask you guys to think about some scriptures that are maybe dear to you or important to you, or maybe even on subject of illusion. Does anybody have one that they'd like to share? Did you want to come up? No? Do I want a microphone to her? Because we're online. It's just, did you just mute it? How do you like that?
Okay. So this morning, Carl and I did a devotion, and it was about Job, and so this goes perfectly. Job asked God so many questions, and then much farther in the book of Job, the 30th chapter, the Lord answered Job, and he had questions for Job. And it's exactly what you're saying. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who defined the boundaries of the sea? Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you explored the springs from which the seas come? Where does the light come from? Where does the darkness go? Have you ever visited the treasuries of the snow? Who created a channel for the torrents of rain? Does the rain have a father? Where does dew come from? Can you hold back the movements of the stars? Are you able to restrain the Pleiades or Orion? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you stalk prey for a lioness? So this is a long chapter, and there's a lot more than I just kind of read the opening question in each of the verses. But then Job was like, kind of like, okay, never mind. I don't know very much. But it was a reassurance too. Like, he's God, I'm not, and it's all under control. That's what we got out of it.
Thank you. And I did include that in maybe the last sermon I did in Iowa. Some of these people heard it. But I did use those. I used those exact words to show exactly what you just told us. That, in fact, it says later on that Job just put his hand over his mouth. He said, okay, I will speak no more. I will put my hand on my mouth. When he's trying to figure out, you know, trying to outguess God or outsmart God. We can't outsmart God. There are plenty of people in our society that do try to outsmart God, and I think that that's some illusion that we need to keep in check by knowing that God is the creator of all things. So thank you for that message or that idea. Does anybody else have one? Or something that's important to you? Tasha, I'm doing the same thing.
I can hold that if you want. My favorite verses are 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, and this speaks to one of the greatest illusions of all time, that you go to heaven when you die. And I think this is pretty obvious that we don't. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Thank you, Tasha. And that is true. Well, number one, you just read it out of the scripture, but that I think that is probably the biggest illusion. And the first illusion, if you think about it, you go back to the garden. She just read 1 Corinthians 15, 52 and 53, 51 and 52, and it talks about resurrection. And the fact that we need resurrection, number one, should be obvious in the verse. Why do we need resurrection? Because we're not much good when we're dead. So you need resurrection. It's a saving thing. But back in the garden, the serpent talking to Eve. Eve tells the serpent, we can't eat that fruit or we'll die. And the serpent says, you shall not surely die. Or not, he doesn't say surely. You shall not die, for you'll know the things that God knows. So I think that's the inception of that whole concept of not really dying. And obviously, the story with Jesus in the middle as being the center of creation, him dying, he being resurrected, should indicate to us that resurrection is a pretty important part of what we need to be believing about God, because even the center of creation had to resurrect. So we're patterned after he is as far as resurrection goes, Jesus as the first resurrected. But it fits right in with the illusion of what people are teaching, and there are a lot of people teaching that nowadays. So stick to God's word. Does anybody else have Micah and then Brian?
I guess regarding illusion or something like that, I've got 2 Timothy 4, the first five verses, I guess. And it reads, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And this one always kind of sticks out to me because I see a lot of examples today of people trying to pass off sin as righteousness and the opposite, what is righteous, calling sin or evil. And that kind of sticks out to me today.
Yeah, I didn't want to say woke, but that kind of reminds me of that, you know, the woke society. People do, you know, you can't tell me what's wrong is the idea. I need to decide what's right. But we got to remember that God is a creator of all things. I said Brian would be next, and then I'll go to Kennedy.
Yesterday when I was doing the magic, another verse that I was thinking of mentioning but didn't was one of my favorites. Hebrews 13:7-8 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And that word imitate, I think sometimes that's an illusion. If you can imitate, do an impersonation of someone really well, you can almost give the illusion that you are that person, but we're to imitate the faith of our leaders. And so I was thinking about, as we were saying, that great is thy faithfulness this morning, and the news that we got about Hannah's grandma, she's the second one over from the far right there. All eight of our grandparents and all four of our parents were at our wedding 20 years ago in July and married to their original spouses, and the faithfulness that was demonstrated through their love and marriages, I think is something that is important that we remember and try to imitate. And in fact, the verses right before Hebrews 13:7-8 and verse 4 says that. It says, "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" So we get this illusion a lot of times that money matters, or things matter, or all kinds of things. And we get the illusion in our head that some of our sins don't really matter and we can get away with repetition of it. But we read in those other verses yesterday, not to get into all that again, but that there's a whole list of things that we're not to be deceived, that these people that are doing these things will not be in the kingdom. Their destiny is in the lake of fire, and so we can't deceive ourselves. We got to stay away from that illusion of that we can live one way when we're here on Sunday and another way when we're somewhere else.
Thanks, Brian. Kenny, you had something?
Well, this just came to mind when Micah was talking. 1 John 1:8-10. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." And that just goes right along with whatever you and Brian and Micah all said. And the verse that first came to my mind when you asked for verses was Proverbs 15:3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." So God is everywhere, seeing everything.
Thank you. Kenny? Does Oh, sorry, Lori.
That's okay. I thought I'd let you get back.
I know you're loud, but this is for the other people's sake.
No, when we were talking about what's true and what's not and what people call good, and I thought of Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And then there was a cross-reference to Proverbs 17:15, and it says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. So be careful.
Be careful, little eyes, what you hear or see. Oh, sorry, Josh. Hey, this is a testimony for those kids that were outside. I told them around the campfire maybe a week or a half ago, I said, what would happen if somebody took all of our Bibles? What would we be able to get by?
So when you were talking about people trying to outsmart God, it made me think of 1 Corinthians 1:25. And it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And I think that, you know, even though it might seem weak in the world, God finds strength in that.
What verse was that again, Josh?
1 Corinthians 1:25. There's another verse very similar to that. How did it go? I don't remember. It just went out of my head. Is there another one? So yesterday I deceived my class, whoever was in my class. I had the first period, and it fits in, and I want to close with this little thought. I'm going to tell you what I did with them. I did an object lesson with them, and I had gotten 3 glasses of water, so you have to, this is an imaginary object lesson. No, an imagination object lesson, so you have to think what I'm saying. I had 3 empty glasses in front of me, and I took a pitcher of water, of good clean water, and I poured one most of the way full, and I poured one halfway full, and I poured one just a little bit in the bottom, and I was comparing that. These are the good things that we do, and this is how good we are. This person is almost full of goodness. This one is half full of goodness, and this one is just a little bit of goodness. And so the object is that, would you drink that water? Would you drink from that water? And of course you would drink from it. It's all of it's clean water. It's all good. So then I went in the bathroom and brought out a pitcher of toilet water and poured it into the one that was most empty of goodness and said, okay, now would you like to drink this water? No, I wouldn't drink that water. It's toilet water, but I flushed it. The water was clean. I mean, this is just water. You wouldn't want to drink from that? No, we wouldn't have anything to do with that. Ew, they would say. That's what they said. And so I poured some into the half cup, and it was much less toilet water, but they still wanted nothing to do with it. So the one that was almost full of goodness, I just put a few drops of the toilet water in there. Well, how about now? There's only a very small amount of toilet water in that drink. And no, they still didn't want anything to do with it, which, you know, it's by the time it dilutes, you know, that's kind of the idea. But the analogy is that this is how God looks at sin. Whether we're full of sin, whether we're just a little bit sinful, or whether we have just a few sins, sin is sin. God looks at all of them the same. They're all sin. And with the topic of illusions, I pulled out my little purple drink mix, poured it in the center one and stirred it up and said, now look how good this looks. Now wouldn't you drink this water? And it did look good. It looked good. And they said no, because it had toilet water. But they knew it. But what happens is Satan gets in the mix of our minds and our situations and makes something that's bad look attractive. So the analogy is to stay aware of the basic things. We need to please God. We need to understand that God is the creator of all things and that we are his creatures. He's not our creature. You know, sometimes I think people look at God as how can we manipulate him around? That's not how it goes. God created all these things and he's faithful. And I did drink some of that purple water and they just were aghast. But I didn't get it out of the toilet. I got it out of the faucet. So that's my confession. Okay, so that was our object lesson for today. It was a visual one, but it was one. So we're going to sing a song and then dismiss for lunch. I'm sure everybody needs to stay because there's so much food left to eat. Let's stand and we'll sing number 242.